box and play with great effort and intensity. And, you know, he's just like that since he's been here.
37 past the hour. Let's go back to our busy phones and grab Magnum, who's up next with us. Magnum, hello.
Hello, guys.
Hey, man. Welcome.
The good thing about today is we look like we just lost today and, you know, didn't get embarrassed. Even at Oklahoma, it wasn't the most embarrassing thing in the world.
Should have been more competitive.
It should have been.
Hopefully the days of that is over. And that's the process, as he says, is, you know, eliminating that first.
I think that I think that everybody's a tad bit angry. I like how people of today have been a little angry on the phones. I think it shows that they're getting closer, that there's a little level of expectation. Yeah. But there has to be fairness. I'm proud of the fan base so far tonight on this program, to be honest with you, because I think people, for the most part, have been pretty darn fair toward what they saw today.
Right. And, you know, we do care. And it doesn't look like the outlook is, oh, man, when are we going to do it? When are we going to get back? We're getting back. We're not back, but we're getting there. And that's at least, you know, hopeful for the fans. And Swain, Pig Howard, to me it looks like he's just not a very good route runner. What's your opinion of that?
Who's that again? I'm sorry.
Pig Howard.
Pig Howard.
Oh, Pig.
He's a great athlete, great football player once he gets the ball in his hands, but sometimes it looks like the pass is where it should have been, and he's not.
I mean, I think he's a above average route runner. He's just small. I'm trying to get used to these little itty-bitty receivers, itty-bitty receiver committee. That's what I like to call them. I'm trying to get used to them, you know, because I'm so used to Tennessee having those big receivers, and I respect the heck out of a Cedric Wilson, who was a smaller guy that played with the heart of a line, reminds me of Steve Smith in the NFL. But I'm just used to bigger receivers, and I know Coach Jones and Coach Azani. You know, they had Antonio Brown, and they love him. He's a stud with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I just like bigger receivers. Pig Howard is definitely explosive with the football in his hands. He just sometimes at a disadvantage because of his size, but I think he's above average route runner.
Okay. But, I mean, I like it when he has the ball in his hands. He can do things when he gets it in his hands, but sometimes it's like they go to him too much.
Well, no, I think it's, I think there's a point that's a couple people have made on here on post game shows, and it might be Sinclair who said this. You're almost better off, Swain, using him inside and on some quick stuff. And they did that today, and he looks really comfortable. When they try to use him as a field-stretching weapon with his size, it doesn't seem to fit him, Jason. What do you think?
Yeah, I like him in the slot more. I mean, I get moving him around inside, outside. You know, that comes with experience. That comes with, being comfortable with the offense. I'm totally cool with him moving around. I'm not a big fan of him just staying on the outside, because I think Josh Smith is a little bit better on outside, but Pig Howard is more overall a better playmaker for us. Von Pearson in this offense, I get why Von Pearson was put in the slot, because, the slot player catches the most passes in this offense. You know, you look back at Coach Jones' history, slot guys caught, you know, a ton of passes. So I get why Von Pierce is in the slot. I guess it's one of those things where it's a good problem to have. But I like Pig Howard moving around. I really like him in the slot versus those linebackers and safeties and those nickel guys who are not the first team cornerback and Pig Howard's going up against them. I don't like Pig against corners on the outside. They get their hands on him and they kind of push him off his route. It's hard to do that versus Marquez North and Josh Malone. But again, I have a bias for bigger receivers.
Well, and I'm sure Marquez North gets the he gets more attention.
Oh, no doubt.
They're better.
Mag, hey, listen, man.
Great player. Thanks, guys.
Love you, brother. Great talking to you. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us, the video board today at UMass collapsed. They're on Tennessee's. They're on. I hope nobody got hurt. Yeah. They're on Tennessee's. Did anybody get hurt in that?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sitting here laughing about it, and I mean, just thought I'd throw it in there. But 865, little probably irresponsible of me.
I got a question for Swain.
Go ahead,
Jason. You said a little bit ago. You talked about maybe the mindset having to be a little bit different this week with the expectations, etc. And I would think fan base and players alike with Florida coming to town versus going to Oklahoma and to Georgia. How do you see Coach Jones maybe changing it up this week? Or how does he try to approach this ball game with these players?
I think he challenged the wide receiver group. And Coach Jones is a wide receiver coach at heart. And these DBs, and it's going back to when I was playing receiver. I mean, nothing's changed down there in Florida. They have great athletes on the outside. They're not going to run zone and play, you know, pass the football. They don't get up in your stuff. They're going to try to press you for 60 minutes. And I think for Coach Jones, I mean, you could definitely challenge the wide receiver group just like you challenge the whole football team because no matter how much Florida struggles on offense, they're very confident in their defense and their DB. So if I'm Coach Jones, I'm challenging the receivers. I'm challenging, you know, the quarterbacks to deliver the football. I'm challenging the offensive line to protect Justin Worley and improve on, I guess, from Oklahoma game to Georgia game and to the Florida game. And defensively, you know, I continue to challenge my defense. Driscoll, the last time he, you know, came here to Knoxville, he looked like Tim Tebow. There's plenty of ways to motivate your football team in this football game, but, it's the first time in a long time that Tennessee will be viewed as the favorite by a lot of people. I mean, people think Tennessee will think that Tennessee should win this football game.
Thank you, my friend. Excellent answer by you. Let's go back to our phones. I'm telling you, Swainy today, I don't know what you're charging me, Swain, for this, but it ought to be triple. Let's go back.
Hey, man, I've grabbed so many beers today, and that may be the what I need to do every single day. But I've drank so many cold ones today, you know, after watching the offense. That might be the reason why. I probably need to start drinking some beer in the morning.
I'll tell you what, that offense will drive you to drink in the morning. Let's go.
In fact, I need to drink the hot beer.
Yeah.
Watching this offense.
Let's go back to the phones and grab Robbie, who's next with us. Robbie, hello.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man, welcome.
Well, there was a lot of good and a little bit of bad. Real disappointed that we lost to Egg Suckers from Athens. I was more, you know, I expected Jalen to come in and actually be running the way he's running. What I've been impressed with him is just how he's doing in pass protection.
Yep.
I mean, he was knocking heads with some people. You know, defensively, we're much, much better than we have been. The biggest thing to me today that was sinking in is, what if Dooley hadn't burnt Worley's red shirt?
Yeah, that's a thought I had too.
Yep. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I had that thought myself.
I mean, what's his bigger sin? Not recruiting a lineman for a year or burning Worley's red shirt?
Great, it's a great show topic. Dooley's biggest sin. You talk about getting that log out of your own eye. He's got telephone poles in his. Wow.
I'm just contemplating driving to Dallas just to ask him face to face.
Wow.
Moron.
Wow.
Next time you have Dooley, tell me a story. Get Gerald Riggs on there with
you. Oh, really? Does he have a good Dooley story for me?
Hey, Swain, does Riggs not? Riggs can. He's got a thing about Dooley.
Wow.
Everyone has a Dooley story.
Riggs is just—he takes it to a whole nother level of hate. Yeah, if we had to pick one representative volunteer family to take it out on Dooley, it'd be Gerald Riggs. He's just what an idiot. So I don't know. I mean, it sucks. I hate losing to Georgia, but you know, I think we're right there on it. The only coaching thing I was disappointed in: why did Butch not challenge that the spot or find some reason for the referees to look at whether or not the second guy down, when they down the punt at the one, if his right foot didn't cross the goal line when he was downing the ball. Because they don't down that ball at the one, I think we win.
Well, any thoughts on that? Did either of you guys look like when they downed the ball there on the 1 yard line, which led to our subsequent fumble, it looked like one of the defenders may have had contact with the goal line, Brocky.
Yeah,
what do you think?
I don't know, man.
Is that the rule, or is it just? I thought it was where the ball.
It's about the ball, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And then when you're touched,
The trouble with this is there's two different rule books. You've got college and pro
exactly.
football. Exactly. So, Swainy, what's your take on what the rule is there?
I'm a little fuzzy on the difference between NFL and college. I know one is the football, and one is, hey, if your body crosses the plane, then that's a touchback too. But hey, if I'm the guys upstairs, I mean, it's their job. You know, all the people that are upstairs, as far as the Tennessee staff, they gotta phone down and say, hey, Butch, I think we need to challenge this deal. That's one of those plays where that was a game changing play. If they go back and see that that should have been a touchback, I'm pretty sure that Butch and his staff are gonna be really disappointed that they didn't challenge that.
You know, on Gurley's, and it's not that it would have mattered, but it didn't look to me like Gurley got the line to make late in the game either. That's another one that could have been looked at. I don't know if any of you thought about that.
Yeah, I thought he made it.
It could have been. I mean, it could have been, but hey, sometimes those games, those plays happen. It happened versus OU when you had a couple holding calls and the blown fumble reversal there. You just don't want to put the game in the referee's hands. I mean, these are SEC refs, so we're not expecting them to be great anyways.
Yep. Well, one thing about SEC refs, brother, if you're planning on being somewhere in 4 hours, you better make more plans. I mean, those people love throwing those flags, don't they?
Oh, man.
They love throwing the flags.
They're absolutely horrendous.
They are horrible.
Still don't know what the one on Butch at the end of the half was.
I have no idea.
That's a great question. What they call?
I mean, who does it go right? We get a sack there. The last play of the half.
And apparently, Tennessee was trying to call timeout. There was one of the problems. The coaches upstairs were wanting to call timeout and force Georgia to punt or run one more play.
Oh, okay.
Let's make these games last longer. Hey, Robbie, anything else for us here on the way out, brother?
No, that's it, man.
Hey, I want you to have a great Saturday, man.
You too, bud.
All right, it's beautiful. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in with us, let's go back to our busy phones and grab another caller here, our final one from my man Swainy, and then I'm going to get the great Reed Carringer in with us, who is with RockyTopInsider.com.
I hope he's not hopping Nathan Peterman.
Let's have fun with him. You got to have fun with him, Rock. We're going to have fun with him right now. Roberto, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Brog?
Hey, man.
Hey, I'll own it. I thought Peterman should have gotten more of a shot in the preseason. To be the starting quarterback. And I was wrong. I was completely wrong. Justin Worley has impressed me beyond anything I thought I could be impressed by that kid. He still doesn't have a 300-yard passing game. Have you guys noticed that in his career? But
I had no
respect today.
Hell, I don't care if he wins.
Yeah, he bought out today, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
Unbelievable.
I did too. Don't get me wrong. I was just surprised by that when I saw that stat today, because I thought he had over 300 today.
Last year, I mean, goodness gracious.
If he hadn't missed most of the third quarter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly right.
He needs to hurt his arm more often, I think. Man, he was throwing some lasers.
I'm telling you, that loaded boot gets you every time, guys.
Have you guys gotten to watch this this NC State game at all?
It's so fun.
Brissett kid is balling out.
Yep.
He has shown up Jameis Winston.
Yep, he's a Florida castoff.
Yeah, well, I wish we could have picked up. I think, didn't we go after him a little bit there when he left?
I don't remember.
Swainy, did we go after Jacoby Brissett when he left Florida?
I am not really sure if we did or not.
Yeah, I don't remember that. But.
Well, either way, look, everybody on Twitter sphere is just moribund, to say the least, today. But you know, I don't want to believe in moral victories. I don't either. But you know what? I mean, isn't it great to hurt again, guys? Isn't it great to feel like crap after a football game?
Absolutely. I love it. I love the pain of our fan base. It's fun. A little bit of pain's not a bad thing. Pain means you have some expectation.
Yes, I had an expectation. I actually thought I gave Tennessee about a 30% chance to win today, and it turns out that was pretty accurate representation of where they were at. They were within a field goal of taking that thing to overtime, and wouldn't that have been crazy if we took that game to overtime like last year?
Oh man, I didn't even think about that.
Too much to take, man. Wow.
I've been saying it since the World Cup, guys. We are going to beat Florida's eyes shut. In 7 days from right now, we're going to be on this very same program, and everybody's going to be just rejoicing and probably hammered out of their minds because we are going to beat Florida's eyes shut.
You better believe it. And we have an opportunity, just like NC State has an opportunity with Florida State in their building, and Brissett's making the most of it right now. They're about to kick an extra point to make it 31-21. And that's what these, and thanks, Berto. I appreciate you because you're right. You're right. Sweeney, on the way out here, let me leave you with a number that the Vol Colonels dug up for me. Last two games versus Oklahoma and Georgia, our opponents are a combined 5 of 22 on third downs.
Wow. 5
of 22.
Mm-hmm.
Sweeney, give me a final couple words here on the way out here, my friend. Plug your show as well. Go ahead.
Well, Monday, 7 to 10. 11:80 a.m. We are rocking and rolling with the Swain event. SwainEvent.com. You can listen live there, or you can download the app free for Apple or Android. Listen to us wherever you are, anytime. You can check out the podcasts that are always updated within the hour of the end of the show. I don't care if we win by 1 point against Florida. I just want Tennessee to win. And, Florida's defense, with our offensive line, I just hope that we don't allow Florida to, put points on the board with their defense. That's going to be a thing that I talk about all week that we need to take a look at is, as long as Tennessee makes Florida, put points with their offense, Tennessee's going to have a great chance to win. I think the only way Florida beats Tennessee is they score touchdowns on special teams or on defense. So, I don't care if Tennessee wins by half a point. As long as Tennessee has more points than Florida at the end of the game on next Saturday.
Well, Swain, I couldn't agree more because I don't have numbers in front of me, but it seems like every year when they beat us, they do something. They score points off defense, special teams.
You know what it's like? It's like that Alabama series was in the 90s. It's one of those deals. That's how you lose to somebody consistently.
And Florida, I think they're already like plus 10 in turnovers this year. They had a couple of scores against Alabama last week.
And Sweeney, we know this. Their defensive line, I think, is better than either of the last two teams we played. Their front four. Are you guys going to – Brock, are you going to go with me on that?
Yeah, I would think so.
I mean, they're good up front.
They're good, but I don't think they're this nasty. I don't think they're in that realm, but they're good. They're good.
Sweeney, thank you. Excellent job by you.
Their back end's better.
Their what is?
Their back end.
Oh, no question. Their back end's very good. Their front four scares me.
Well, I told you the one thing I differ with you on, Basilio, and I've told you this all summer. I thought Eric Stryker would be the best defensive player Tennessee saw all year.
You did not lie, did you?
I stick by that. No, he's
get him on four. You
he's nasty.
Reed, I'm gonna hey, thank you, Sweeney.
Thank you, guys.
You're my man, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Hey, Gov, what I need you to do is grab Reed on. There you go. Gov's really taken to this, man. he's ahead of me. See, when we don't take a timeout, Brock, it really it wears you out, doesn't it? But it keeps you moving. And we haven't had a dry line in the house the entire time. I'm going to get Reed Kerringer in here, who's Rocky Top Insider. Are you, Brocky, going to say that to him? Go ahead and wear him out, please. He'd like that.
Yeah, I'll bring it up.
It will be addressed.
I'll say that Russell brought it.
There you go.
Yes.
My attention.
I'll take it.
Russell was backbiting him.
Well, I even pushed back a little bit when you guys were discussing that, Tony. I didn't hear it from anybody else, but you know, the media around here, you just never really know what you're getting from them. So, whether it's the party line or
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I like about Reed, and this is the one of the great things that attracts me to him, among the fact that I think he's extremely knowledgeable, their site is incredible, is that he's not afraid to step out there and say, this is what I'm hearing from people. But I'll say, in fairness to him, I had some people tell me that, too, associated with the program, that Peterman was bawling out back in the summer.
Well, I was going to tell you, I mean, there's some guys, Tony, particularly at that position, that can look really good.
Yeah.
You know, practicing all, man, when they get on that field in live action, it's a completely different story.
So. I mean, the question is, this week, if you're Butch Jones, do you make a move at backup quarterback just in case after today? I mean,
I don't know the plans with Dobbs. That's the only thing about it.
I don't know what the plans are either, but I do know that if you stick with Peterman and Morley gets hurt, your entire season is screwed.
Let me bring in Reed Carringer now, who's with RockyTopInsider.com. Reed, thank you for joining.
Hey, happy to join you, Tony.
Reed, Brocky's going to go cheap shot on you here, so let me just do it for him. Since people are wondering about the stuff about Peterman back in the summer, how is there such a disconnect from him on a football field in a live game to him in practice, Reed?
It's got to be in his head. You know, we really didn't know because last year in practice, he made catastrophic mistakes and had that deer in the headlights look that he had at Florida. So when he got out there last year, kind of, I don't think anybody that covered the team was surprised to see him struggle. And then this year, that deer in the headlights look in practice was gone. Looked like he kind of turned the corner mentally. And even on that first drive against Georgia, it looked pretty solid. And then after that, it just all came crashing down on him. So he just looks like it's a head case type thing for him. It's almost like a kicker. You know, kickers look great until they miss one, and then they can miss five or six in a row, and all of a sudden they're out of the NFL and out of a job. So I think that's Peterman's deal. There's no other way to put it. We've seen him really play well in scrimmages even. I heard you talking earlier. I mean, you can ask a lot of people over there. They tell you the same thing. When the lights come on, he just struggles. So I don't know if they make a move at backup quarterback this week. Dobbs has been the third string quarterback really ever since Worley got named the starter. So we'll see. That's definitely a storyline to watch because center line doesn't block a ton better. Worley will not make it through the season.
I mean, based on what I saw today, I'd go to Hurd in the Wildcat as my second team quarterback if I had to. I mean,
over that.
Yeah, exactly.
I give credit to the coaching staff for breaking out that package today, too. That's something we really haven't seen from them, and they sort of worked on it quietly this week. And that's a good package. You got some positive plays, and that's something they'll definitely incorporate into the future.
They just better hope that this Dormady kid shows up because he's a midterm enrollee.
He needs
to be ready to compete this spring.
Yeah, he sure does.
It's such an interesting dynamic when you think about a guy like Peterman. I can't think of anybody in memory, Brocky, who can play in practice and who can't. I mean, the guy today, when he fumbled that football, he might as well have walked off the field. I mean, he was holding the ball so much at times, it looked like he thought he was playing behind the hogs back in Washington back in the day. I'm like, dude, you got to go 1-2. 1-2, the ball's got to be out of here, man.
Especially that offensive line. You know, they showed, I think that last drive he was in where he got absolutely crushed on that last play, the slow-mo replay in Georgia Stadium, in slow motion they got to him in under 4 seconds. But in real time, I mean, they're getting there in a second and a half or something like that. You got to know you're getting rid of that football quicker.
I thought
Worley held it too long, too, but, I mean, they're just in a tough spot back there. They really are.
And are you thinking while you're watching that, man, people are going to haze me. I'm really going to get hazed over this.
I don't care, honestly, Tony. I don't care. I'll tell you what I see and know that I see what I see. And I saw that Peterman struggled out there. I'll tell you that, too. You know, I'm not going to pick a guy and just go with him, so.
You're not Mike Griffin. You're not Mike Griffin.
No, he would argue.
Yeah.
He's got a long way to go to be as wrong as often as you and I are, Tony. So.
Well, that's exactly right.
Well, me too in that regard.
Yeah, I'm
so.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phones. I wear my wrongness, though, with pride. Joe is up next with us. Joe, hello.
You actually enjoy it, don't you?
It doesn't bother me. Joe, hello. Somebody's got to be wrong. Joe, hello.
Hey. Go Balls. I'm just fired up for this team. I love the fact that they fight the way they do. They didn't quit. And I have to say, after the last basically 10 years, what we've had to watch as a fan base, it's nice to see a group of guys go out there and strap it on and not quit. I think we're going in the right direction. I think we went down with five true freshmen on offense, played against a team that a lot of people were picking to be the in the playoffs, and went toe-to-toe with them. I'm pretty fired up.
I think there's so much from today to feel really good about. Now, there are things that make you scratch your head, just like there are with teams across the board. I'll tell you this, though. We could be Michigan fans today, and we've been a kissing cousin of Michigan for a long, long time.
Yep.
Here's the thing we did. We got it right with this coach that we just hired, and Michigan's gotten it wrong once again. Michigan is losing right now 20-7, last time I saw, with Minnesota midway through the third quarter. Brady Hoke, I mean, it's over there for him.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tony. I talked to a friend of mine who's a big Georgia fan after the game. And, you know, I was like everybody else. I was mad. I'd take a walk, calm down. You know, it was a good game. But, he sounded more down in the dumps than us.
I don't doubt that. Yeah.
You know, they don't know where their program's going to be in 2 years.
Nope.
Well, I'll say this. The way I look at it, I'm very pleased with the effort I've seen against Oklahoma and then again today. But I'll be happy with it when they come out with a W next year. That's, I mean, because, Russell, you agree with me, don't
we
you?
We all understand that.
I mean, it's just that kind of game. You've got to win next week.
But
it's a must-win game.
But you can't, guys, throw the cart before the horse and say you either win or else.
And this isn't the kind
you
of
can't
win,
be
Basilio.
That way.
This isn't the kind of win next week where, if Tennessee loses next week, where I'm starting to throw the coaching chair.
That's what I want to hear.
That it's not that kind
of
loss.
That's what I want to hear.
It's talking about the.
It would be a season defining loss, not a program defining.
Exactly.
Loss.
Exactly.
At that point, it's just not a loss. But.
Well, I mean, hey, go Vols. Thank you for your time.
It thwarts the momentum
thank you.
We're feeling
about. I appreciate
about the
your call, Joe.
Russell?
Thank you, Joe. Great hearing from you.
We had the caller earlier. I thought the line of the day so far was the guy who said the list of things that need to be fixed just keeps getting shorter.
Yeah,
and shorter.
That's
a great line.
As long
sure
as they
was.
Keep checking items off that list,
I love that line.
I'm comfortable with.
Yep, exactly.
The way things are headed.
You're going to bow your head for Reed Carringer, RockyTopInsider.com. Reed, in the stadium, what stood out to you today? Give me a 45-second dissertation here, and then we'll go back to our phones.
Well, I thought Tennessee really, I think the thing that stood out the most to me was Tennessee came out and punched Georgia right in the mouth. They looked really prepared. Thought the Vol offense, when it was moving up tempo and kind of getting away from their traditional offense, played very, very, very well. They got away from that a little bit and struggled, but they came in here, took the crowd out of it, and then a couple turnovers really got Georgia back in this football game and Tennessee's inability to capitalize on turnovers. And I thought special teams, as good as Gurley played, as poor as Tennessee's offense was on capitalizing on turnovers, I thought the defense was Georgia's special teams, and I thought that was going to be the difference in the game before it. Had that big punt return, which flipped the field. It was already going to be a short field for Georgia, but that led to a quick touchdown, and Tennessee's inability to field a punt correctly really, really hurt the Vols today.
Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter. Fan reaction is our program. If you want to get in, 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. We go around the room here. I'm Tony Basilio. He's Russell Smith across from me. You're hearing the voice of Reed Carringer, who's with RockyTopInsider.com. Jeff Brock is in the house with us today. We're going to get ready to go back to our phones. By the way, an update. The third quarter is now expired, and Minnesota, with the football, leads 27-7 now over Michigan.
They've thrown in the towel.
Also, in the first quarter, Cincinnati is up early on Ohio State.
Oh, I love
this. 7-0 is the score there.
I'd like to see ears get that one.
Huh?
I'd like to see ears get that one.
How great
would that
be? Old Earsy. Let's go back.
What about Penn State going down, too?
Penn State down the tubes today in a really embarrassing way to Northwestern, 29-6. Wisconsin beats South Florida, 27-6. Iowa, 24-10 over Purdue. And Rutgers today over Tulane, 31-6. And, of course, Rutgers really a household name in Big Ten football. When we think about the Big Ten, we think about Rutgers. What in the world has this world come to? Bino, you're up next with us. Bino, calling in. Bino, how you doing, man? Bino, are you there? I'm sorry, that's not Bino. That's why he didn't answer.
Come on now.
Bino, hello. Bino, I'm doing better here. My first turnover of the game, Bino. And, of course, it would be a handoff to you.
You've got the game firmly in hand, Tony. We're not on the half-yard line anyway when you did it.
Thank you, Bino. Appreciate you saying that.
Guys, is it possible to be disappointedly encouraged? Because I believe that's where I am today.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
I have, I'm disappointed that we missed an opportunity to win another football game, big football game that we had right there for the taking. And probably that I thought there were a couple areas where our coaching staff could have helped us a little better at key points. I think they missed a couple of chances as well, but I love the talent. I love the physicality. I love the general direction and the attitude of the program that I've seen over the last two games.
Anybody, any thoughts?
Think about this. This is Tennessee's fourth straight year, and Tennessee probably football at its historic worst the last 4 years. Each year they've played Georgia within one score. Each year, and Georgia football's been, I think, near the top of their program historically the last 4 years. So Vols are close. And I think today, Georgia is one of the most talented teams in the country still. And Tennessee really, really played well. Really, really played well in some phases of that game. They played a little better than I thought. I had Georgia winning by a touchdown, field goal game. And I think the coaching staff made a couple of mistakes. But I think also, you got to give them credit for putting that Wildcat in there. Got to give them credit for going up tempo a few times too. So I think they helped them too in some ways. So I want to balance that out a little bit.
I agree. I thought early on they were excellent. I thought their early game plan was terrific and ready. You can throw South Carolina right in there too, along with Georgia. Those are the two teams in the East right now, and there's not a nickel's worth of difference between Tennessee and Georgia today. And South Carolina, when they have beaten us, they've barely beaten us.
You're absolutely right, and that bodes well for the Vols when they head into Columbia in November.
I think
on the mildly negative side, I think Freddie said it best as we watched today. I think sometimes you have to forget about who you want to be in your program and be who you are today in order to win a football game.
And what's that mean, Bino? What's that mean to you? Be who you are today to win a game. What's that mean?
I don't believe that we're a run-on first down program right now. I don't believe we're a run-the-stretch on the half-yard line program. I don't believe we're a read option program right now. I just don't think that's who we are.
Hey, Reed, I think they learned some lessons today if you looked at the way they handled one of their goal line situations today on offense.
Well, I hope so. I really do. And I am 100% with you, Bino. I'm 100% with you because Tennessee, they're not a running first down team. You saw it. They work best when they're throwing. When they're throwing the ball to set up the run a little bit, kind of a non-traditional running game. And that's something that I think if they come out and play like they did those first few drives against Florida, they'll run the Gators out of Neyland. I really think so. But just kind of game planning like that and playing to their strengths. And, what was that quote? Play who you are today, not who you want to be. The Vols are a team that can beat people through the air. They can beat about any team in the country through the air. And then situational running, saw Jalen Hurd really grow up today, really grow up.
Bino, say that again. What was that again?
Well, I think the way that Freddie put it was sometimes you have to forget who you want to be in the future and be who you are today in order to win the football game. And I thought at times we were being who they wanted to be rather than who we are right now.
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Russell, I'm about to have one more thing to say, so say something to me so I know you're not mad at me.
Bino, how could I ever be mad at you?
He's tried to talk two or three times, Bino, and in true Basilio fashion, I've turned the mic down on him.
And we're all better off.
Using Barney Fife mic. I guess he does that to me too, Russell, so I understand completely.
Interesting.
Here's the thing that thrills me to death, though, guys. We are much more competitive than I expected to be 16 games in the Butch Jones era. Much more competitive.
Amen. And they play so hard. Tennessee's kids played so hard today, Bino. I said earlier they deserve to win the game. Now, Sinclair came on and got all emotional on me and said, well, you can't fumble the ball twice, and you can't fumble the ball in the end zone, and you don't deserve to win when you do things like that. Well, the truth is, Jeff, I thought Tennessee's, and when I get serious, I talk to you as Jeff, Brock. I thought Tennessee's effort down to down today was good enough for victory in terms of the way they sold out to win the game.
I don't question the effort. And I mean, I think that's something we can put behind us. You guys talked about it earlier in the program. I just don't really. Now, it is, you know, you do get frustrated when the offensive line looks like a sieve at time, you know, just to let an onslaught on your quarterback and you wonder what's going on. But that just might be, might be more youth and experience mixed in with effort.
I feel like that's something that is inevitably going to get better because they recognize that you're starting two freshmen on that line.
Yep. So. The effort's not an issue with me at all. And it really hasn't been since Coach Jones got here. I've not really questioned the effort much at all. So these guys give it they compete.
Bino, you're coming back with me on Friday for the Florida week. Are you ready to exercise this ghost, my friend?
I am, Tony. And I'll tell you, I've got one game expectation in me this year, and it's next Saturday. That team is not any good. We're better than them. The only way they can beat us is inside of our helmets. They can't beat us with ability. They can't beat us with their coaching staff. The only way they can beat us is if we just allow it to happen because our mind won't allow us to win football.
And that's been the hurdle with them. They've been in Tennessee's heads for a while now.
Got to get over that. Hey, guys, y'all doing a great job as usual. I've enjoyed it. I'm enjoying the journey this time.
There we go. Enjoy the journey. What a great way of putting that. Hey, Reed, talk to me here. What you guys are doing over at your site. Plug what you're doing there.
Hey, got tons of game day content, tons of recruiting content. Big recruiting day for the Vols yesterday. So if you missed anything about just the big defensive line haul that they got, you can check that out at RockyTopInsider.com. We got a game story posted. We got 5 observations from the game posted, a gallery. From the field, we're actually walking out of Sanford Stadium right now and getting ready to head back to gorgeous East Tennessee. So we'll have even more game content later tonight throughout the weekend, recapping all that. And then got a podcast, so weekdays from 10 to 11 that we post on there as well.
We're 2 hours and 45 minutes into this, and we still have not had an open line, or 2:30 into this and still not an open line. But if you want to get in, 865-200-5402.
Reed, I just wanted to ask from the Georgia fan perspective. I don't know if you've chatted with any, but just, I guess, from the pulse inside the stadium, did you get the sense that they felt like Georgia played down to Tennessee's level today? Did you feel like it was more like a, well, I'm glad we survived this? What do you think their take was walking out of that stadium, most Georgia fans?
Yeah, I don't know if it was that Georgia played down. I think they thought Tennessee played really well, more than anything. That honestly happened the last time Tennessee came down here, when it was a 51-44 game. Those fans kind of left saying, man, like, Tennessee's kind of better than we gave them credit for. Cause I didn't think Georgia played bad football today. I didn't at all. Well, Tennessee came out and really played well in a lot of phases of the game. And I think Georgia fans, at least it seemed like, I talked to a couple there on the sideline, agreed with that. And they were scared. They were legitimately scared at the end, even when, Georgia had the ball and they were only up 3. They don't have a ton of confidence in that team late in the game.
Tennessee's coming. Yeah, Tennessee's coming. You can see it. And you know what today was a real advertisement for? Because Georgia's a team that's thought to be one of the teams to win the East. It's anybody's division.
Yeah, it's true.
And it remains anybody's division.
Yep.
Because this year, when we start playing the West, Brock, you think about how badly the West is going to beat on the East. Think about Arkansas. They're up 2 touchdowns after 3 quarters, or no, coming to the end of the 3rd quarter, down there in Jerry's world, Arkansas is on top of A&M by 2 scores. You think about how unbelievable the West is.
It's brutal.
I mean terrible.
I told
when Arkansas win the East this year?
I'm telling you they would, yeah.
I told some folks.
I wouldn't doubt that.
After that LSU game, during the Mississippi State game, I won't be surprised if LSU finished 6th or 7th in that league.
Yeah, they're going to lose 4 or 5 games.
Yeah, that side of the league.
And
they'd probably win the East.
Yeah, exactly.
And Mad Hatter would be getting lots of losing practice on his way to Michigan, where they're losing a lot these days. Let's go back to the phones and grab T-Carp, who's next. T-Carp, hello. You're on the Smartway Dalton Behring 5th Quarter Fan Reaction. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hope y'all are doing well. Reed, what's going on, man? Please be careful on your way back home. Hey, absolutely will, T. Carver. I've always enjoyed hearing from you.
Hey, you too, brother. All right. Some things from this game. Honestly, I didn't expect us to be in this game. Tony, I love listening to your show, and I was like, on Friday, I was listening, I was like, man, Tony is drinking the orange Kool-Aid. There is no way we're going to be in this game. I just don't see it. And I was surprised. Guys, I'm still in that Negaval Dooley state where, oh, I don't know, we're going to get our rear ends handed to us. And man, they just fought. I mean, really, what a bunch of freshmen to go out and play with the heart that they do. They had no business being in this game. They really didn't. But they just hearted it. They really did. Now, did they make some mistakes? Heck yeah, they did. Freshman mistakes and mistakes that as Tennessee fans were used to seeing. But like one caller said, I mean, that list of things that need to get fixed keeps getting smaller and smaller. And I like what Beano said when he mentioned the fact that we can't be who we want to be right now. We need to be who we are. And honestly, to me, that's handing the ball to Hurd with Wolfer Helm as your lead blocker on those goal line situations that he scored, or handed it to him, let him pick a hole, and let him hit the guy and get 3 yards from just hitting the guy in the hole. That's what Hurd is going to do, and I think he's fantastic at it. So I thought that the coaching staff did a really good job of changing their plays up. I thought that the first 3 games they were being very vanilla, and I was happy to see that they have a lot more in their playbook than what they showed. And I think you'll see more of that in Florida or in the SEC matchups with games that matter. And that's just my opinion. What do y'all think?
I think you're 5,000% right. In fact, I look at Tennessee's personnel for next year, and I was talking with Danny Parker because what we do on this show is we like to get population to the microphone, as another Chance once said. We try to involve as many people as we possibly can, and we're using Butch Jones's term. We populate the microphone here.
A lot of individuals on the show.
And Danny Parker, who's inside Tennessee.com, he told me Reed, I want your thoughts, because you guys do a bunch of recruiting. He told me he didn't think Dormandy was all that tremendous of an athlete when you think about this offense. And so I'm just thinking about going forward with all these great receivers you have and with Hurd. Who says you have to play this Cincinnati offense besides those guys? They don't have the personnel for it. Who says you have to do that?
You got to adapt. That's going to be, I think, what defines this fast in the next couple of years. Is you're seeing him change. You've all pointed out today the multiple ways. I mean, Hurd pounding it in from the 6-inch line there was one. I did think, it was first and goal from the 6, and they threw it twice. And then they finally connected with North, I believe, on 3rd down, down there in that end zone late in that game. Thought that was questionable. Run it a couple times. I know they're trying to preserve the clock, but they about cost themselves a touchdown there. But I think they're learning, and I think they're adapting, and I think you'll see more of that. They're still trying to find their identity a little bit. But I think Majakian gets a bad rap at times. I think he's extremely smart, and sometimes he sort of outthinks himself a little bit and gets too fancy.
Brocky, who says, you answer that question that T-Carp just brought up, who says you have to play the spread here? Going back to Beano's thought, you've got great young wide receivers, and you've got a couple more wins in recruiting here coming up.
Yep.
Who says you got to play that offense when you have number one back there?
Well, it's up to the coaches, Basilio, what they're comfortable with and what they think they can do. I mean, you got to – hey, the guy's getting paid the big bucks. But I'm going to tell you one thing. The one thing I would
– go ahead.
Somewhat in their defense is this offense will work with the quarterbacks that don't run the ball necessarily that great.
Yep.
But you've got to have the hosses around you to do it.
You've got to have a great offensive line.
Well, you need a better one than this. And I expect a lot of improvement. I mean, even with a fresh quarterback next year, I think this offense ought to be better. But
can you run that offense successfully, though, and win a championship in this league without a great, great athlete under center? That's my question that I keep asking. And people think that's a wet blanket question. I think it merits discussion, because if the answer to that is no, and if the answer to that is not 100% affirmative, then you ought to consider what kind of hybrid spread you can run next year with that quarterback under center from Texas if you give him the job. Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, I don't disagree with that. And I think Reed kind of alluded to it today. They did some things today that...
They did?
I mean, Hurd had over 100 yards rushing. Worley had a good game. I mean, for as handcuffed as they are with the offensive line, I think they did pretty well, quite frankly.
Yeah, but they modified things today. It was the kind
they did. It was a drastically different offense in a lot of situations. I'm looking forward to getting back, for sound like Bill Fulmer here, watch the tape and see what happens. I really think they changed a lot with that offense. And I think, look, again, if they come out and with the scheme they had today against Florida, they'll win that game.
Great.
They'll win that game.
Great stuff.
Wrinkles.
Wrinkles, just little things, right? Let's go back to the phones, grab another call here today, as I've got in the mix and in the hunt with me today is Reed Carringer, along with Russell Smith, who you can hear at 94.3 in the afternoons. Give them a shot if you haven't. Russell, you can hear at 94.3 FM and at knoxtalkradio.com. He and Richie on from 3 to 6 each weekday. Reed is with RockyTopInsider.com. I'm going back to the phones and grabbing the Mouthpiece, who's up next with us. Mouthpiece, hello.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Hey, what's happening, Peace?
MP.
Hey, you know, at least I got my Titans tomorrow. I got a fine football franchise out there in the middle.
No question. No question.
Hey, they're awful. Hey, how good is Arkansas and NC State going to go get big wins and we get another moral victory? I mean, you just can't draw this up. This is, if there's been a rebuild that even mirrors this, I'd like to know what it is. I mean, this, you know, yeah, I mean, it's a good effort, and that's the way they ought to play every week. You know, they, we always seem to play with Georgia well. I mean, I think Georgia's one of the bigger mysteries, really, to me, since Patson Fulmer's been there. They've had some talent, and they don't play up to their ability. But what I would caution the people talking about next week, I'll agree Florida is terrible, but, you know, look for them to play the game of the year, their game of the year, Tennessee. And keep in mind, Tennessee always loses close to Georgia, you know, the last 4 years.
Brocky, you said yeah to that when the mic was down. Why do you say yeah to that?
Well,
it's Florida playing Tennessee.
Yeah, it's exactly right, man.
Full expect Driscoll.
Why do they give us their best shot, and then they look like turds the rest of the time?
That's a great question. Why? I don't know the answer to that. But
why is that in college football?
Do you think maybe is it because Dickie turned them into 84 and 90? Is it some sort of, you know, karma coming back to us?
I don't know, man.
Turned them in. Georgia's finally turned their series with Florida simply because they've got better players.
Yeah. Maybe that's the key, right? Better players. That's the key.
You know, you look at this 05 Tennessee Florida game. You know, Fulmer gave Urban his first big win. Muschamp in his 11-2 season. Granted, they won at A&M, but they came back against the favorite Tennessee team, kind of got him jump started. Guys wins it in. I mean, when are we going to have enough pieces? You know, in other words, last year it was, well, you know, we're not experienced enough at quarterback. This year, it's all the offensive line. When are we going to have enough of everything to gel to be able to go trade punches with some of these big teams?
Reed Carringer, when do you expect us to have enough?
I'll say this. If this game was played next year, Tennessee wins it. I really think so. I think that offensive line is going to be better. I mean, they're better this week than they were in Oklahoma. I know they didn't play great, but they played better. So I really think next year is the year you can look for them to take a big leap forward from struggling to get to bowl eligibility to comfortably bowl eligible. And then the year after that, I think Tennessee's competing for the East one of the next 2 years. It might come next year, depending on how quickly some of these guys develop. And I think what you saw today, guys, was you saw a young team go to a more experienced team on the road in the SEC and lose a close game because of mistakes. I mean, it happens all the time because of close mistakes. So that's the story for me today. A young team just made some stupid mistakes, shot themselves in the foot a couple times, and played well enough to win otherwise and beat a more talented, more experienced team. That happens. So
get
another year behind them, I think they're in it.
As for the future, I agree with Reed 100%. I expect an 8 or 9 type win season next year, legitimately. And then I think the year after that, I think Tennessee will be competing for the SEC.
They're already trading punches. I guarantee you asked Mark Richt this afternoon. They're trading punches 2 years in a row now.
Tell Mark Richt they're going to add Khalil McKenzie to that defense next year.
Shy Tuttle. Mm-hmm.
They're going to add Shy Tuttle. They're going to add that defensive end that they got committed last night. If he hangs in and ultimately ends up here.
You never know.
Come on. Think about that, guys.
Well, the thing about it, as far as I'm concerned, man, and the thing that has me excited is it was obvious during, even Kiffin's year, they were having to play tricks and whatever. And then the Dooley years.
Yeah.
Man, the personnel difference, Russell. I mean, it's hellfire, man. It's night and day. When you played really good teams, it was obvious. The speed. I mean, you don't see – Oklahoma's a little bit faster than Tennessee, I believe. But if you'd have compared Tennessee's team from last year to this year, it's night and day. Just the speed difference as far as I'm concerned.
Hey, Rocky.
Yeah.
Hey, Rocky, did you make the game in Norman?
Yeah, I was there.
Okay, pretty good atmosphere, I guess.
It was awesome. It was a great. It was just great, man. I was,
two classic teams. It's too bad, Tennessee had to play them, not at full strength. Hopefully next year we can get.
Yeah, next year should be really fun.
I think we have a chance to get them next year, Rock. Don't you?
Yep. I sure do.
Hopefully, Butch can add a few more bricks.
Oh, that's what it's about for me right now. And the bricks,
man. It's just so, the East is so there this year. I mean, my goodness. And,
so there.
And you go 0-1 today, and again, you're out of the East. I don't know. I'm not a negative guy. I don't think I'm just realistic. This thing is just beyond sickening. All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, man.
Thank you. You'll be happy to know, though, that Florida State has just gone back in front of NC State. It's about to be 42-38, pending the extra point. A turnover by Brissett. In the shadow of his own end zone, leads to 7 quick points and 14 quick ones for
the
criminals.
Thing about it, Basilio, about college football and these rankings and this and that, man. And I know they're the national champions, and that's why. But that, how silly is that? That they're number one just because of what they did last year. I mean, there's 6 or 7 teams I've seen that I think could line up in this.
Well, here's the worst thing about what almost happened with the agenda that exists. Chris Fowler and them last Saturday on that show they have, that agenda show they do.
Yep.
Chris Fowler was talking about how even with a loss, you would make a case for them to be a playoff team if they went through the ACC and won the ACC because they were without that quarterback. Even with a loss last week to Clemson, they were still a playoff team and playoff worthy. The national media, for whatever reason, loves Florida State, and they always have, and I despise them. Back to the phones I go. Let's get in your smart way, Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. Let's get in the center ring now with Jose. Jose, hello. You are on with Reed Carringer with RockyTopInsider.com.
Tony.
Hey, Jose.
How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Jose. Good talk to you.
Things are looking up for the Vols. I really think they are. They're playing with effort. They're playing with purpose. You take that train wreck Peterson out of the game for however long he was in there, and I think they would have won.
Good question. If Worley never gets hurt today,
well, this is
Reed Carringer, are you ready to say this right now? Does Tennessee win the game today?
I don't know. I mean, I think that changes the whole complexion of the game. I really do. I mean, I think that was, other than special teams play, that was the thing that cost the Vols the most and missing a couple series. You basically punted, a few series there. So that's just tough. But you can say that about Florida last year. I know you said that, Tony. I'm not ready to say that right now.
This is the new if Butch sticks with Worley against Florida last year, Tennessee wins.
They won that game.
Be saying this all
they won
year.
That game
if
last year.
If Worley doesn't get hurt, Tennessee beats.
Yeah, but that thing last year was just silliness, and it's a year where Florida gets hammered by everybody in their building. It was obvious Tennessee would have won last year if you looked at the way the game started. Wasn't obvious to you, obviously. Rocky, it was obvious to you. If you have a legitimate quarterback on the field last year at Florida Field, don't you win that game,
man,
Rock?
Who knows?
Worley threw 2 picks in a second half in that game.
Yeah, but he was working on it.
He played poorly enough in that second half that we're going to bench him against South Alabama. But
that's because they were behind and they're trying to throw. I think the point is if they stick with Worley and don't have all the turnovers, the meltdown in the first half, they win.
What was the quarterback's name that got in trouble that week? I forgot.
Yeah, Riley Ferguson.
Right. Yeah. How quickly we forget.
Hey, here's the question for next week.
Okay.
Is Tennessee going to turn Florida into the Alabama of Johnny Major's years?
Because that's there. You can make them very one-dimensional. Or are
No.
Oh, you mean turn them into world beaters.
You're You're missing my point.
Oh, no. Yeah. That'll be so somber. Oh, God, if we lose to them 10 in a row.
Tennessee in several years was better than Alabama during the majors era, but they got in their heads, and they couldn't beat them.
I asked Reed yesterday on his podcast when he had me on there if it was true what Mike Huguenin of NFL.com, CFB247, told me when he said Tennessee's lost 17 of the last 21 against Florida. I just said to myself, that cannot be true.
That is true.
That just can't be true.
Well, that is true.
That just doesn't seem...
It is true.
That seems like all this is stupid, that we're even sitting here doing this for 3 hours, if you lose 17 to 21. I mean, doesn't that true?
Against
anybody. And people care enough?
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
And people still care.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
If by some chance they were to lose next week to Florida, what does it do to their season? Do they suck it up
that's
and
a great
keep
question.
Moving, or do they go in the toilet and...
See, Russell thinks it's a guaranteed bowl appearance for the Vols. I think if you lose next week, I think all bets are off in terms of making the postseason.
Well, it's a good thing you have Chattanooga the next week to kind of
that's right.
Yeah,
clear
yeah.
Your catch your breath.
Mind.
Yeah, but thank you, Jose. Great talking to you. Thank you, Jose.
And you would have to say, of course, it's been over a number of coaches, but
yes,
it would just be ridiculous.
Typical. Yeah.
Let's
you know,
get the
Florida gets it to 10 in a row.
Tennessee, be absurd
with what they are right now.
They stink. They're about to fire a coach. They're going to beat you 10 years in a row.
Tony's a sheep.
Go ahead, TN Waltz. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Tennessee Waltz. Hey, Tony, I want to thank you for what you do. You're the best. There's no doubt about it. But hey, Tony. But you and Mike Huguenin, hey, Mike Huguenin's great. He is awesome. But, hey, Mike Huguenin ain't near Lee.
I'm not sure I follow. We've lost 17 to 21 to Florida. I'm not worried about who's in whose league. I'll tell you this right now. I don't know if I can do this next week. If we,
oh my God, I won't be here. I'll tell you.
I might just drink to inebriation and to the point of unconsciousness next week.
Well, you know what? Next week we're going to win. We're going to have a big win, but we're going to raise a lot of money to feed some hungry people, aren't we, Tony?
TN Waltz, we are going to feed. We're going to raise some money next week for Fish Hospitality Pantry. We sure are.
In the grand scale, in the big picture, isn't that what it's all about? Helping people.
Last time I checked, that's exactly what it's about.
Tony, man, I tell you, all jokes aside, we're going to have a good. We're going to have a big week. We're going to have a victory party at 3:00. We're going to be partying at 4:00 until, like you said, 3:00 in the morning. Next week. You know, Tony, as far as this week, I tell you what, I thought we looked great.
I'm really proud of our team. As Reed said earlier, it's, you know, people, Reed, don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear this on your site. They don't want to hear this from me. Man, when you bring a fork to a knife fight, the best you can do sometimes is not get cut up too bad.
Hey, Tony, didn't you tell me this? We're moving forward. We're moving forward.
Yeah, I think we are moving forward.
And you know what, Tony, and I'm sick about this Derek Dooley. This guy was obviously a bozo. But you know what, man, it's good. You know, I was sitting over here when we went 0-6 over here in the rain with Johnny. But you know what, we had hard times. But we're going to climb back here.
There is no doubt that Reed, you're saying within 2 years, right? Brocky, are we in the football playoff in 2 years?
Oh, I don't. Well, that's.
Are we playing for the football playoff?
I think we're in the discussion.
We're in the playoff in 2 years. I'm just telling you, these guys are unbelievable. These guys are warriors, Tony.
They are warriors. I'm proud of this team. I really am.
Tony, I haven't been more prouder of our volunteers. It's been a long time.
I'm proud of you. Brock, hey, anybody,
hey,
anybody.
Brock, you can replay Brian Williams talking points on NBC News. But the bottom line is, Brock, and I know he's a Tennessee fan, but hey, we are going in a positive direction, okay, brother?
Brocky.
I firmly agree with you.
It's Russell who's negative. It's Russell who's negative.
I know you and Bobby Scott. You love Bobby Scott.
Yeah, Russell, you love Bobby Scott.
I do.
Hey, listen, Tennessee Waltz, thanks, man. I want to feel good as you are later tonight. Thank you. What in the hell?
We feel as good as that fellow right there next week. We'll be all right, won't we, Russ?
I think you got a slight head start.
I'm going to go upstairs and take about three hits of my son's puffer that he uses for, what do you use that for, your bronchial?
Asthma.
Yeah, thanks. Get a good shot of that in you. Let's get, thank you, Tennessee Waltz. You've waltzed right under the table. Let's get, wow.
Hey, but I will say this, Tony.
Go ahead.
You've seen, I think, it's going to be really interesting to see how the season plays out, and the West is brutal, but mm-hmm. you have to give, Arkansas, I think, is making a nice jump in their program. Ole Miss is taking a little bit longer. They're getting ready to hit the meat grinder part of their season. I think they've made somewhat of that jump.